Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to honestly wake up and to see this day.
Amen.
You know, so another day above ground, another day among the living. Mm-hmm. Some of you all may know, some of you all may not know, but my name is William Jones. I'm a member of the Petersburg Church of Christ right up the road there. And I will be your Sunday school teacher and also the preacher this morning. As we begin, does everybody have like a pencil and something to write with and something to write on? It's not exactly necessary for the moment, of course, you know, unless you like to take notes and everything. But at the end, we're going to do a short activity that will require some writing. My mother, ladies and gentlemen.
You know you can't mess up anyway.
That should have been the case already since you was here, right? All right. So, this morning, the Sunday school lesson is going to be a lesson on God's existence. God's existence. And my Uncle Wesley asked me, a few weeks ago now or so, however long ago it was, to come here today to preach and to teach. And, you know, in thinking about what I wanted to talk about, you know, of course, it's always like a task, you know, to try to think about something that's relevant and something that people can use in their day-to-day lives. And the thought came to me, I have a friend that I went to high school with, and he doesn't believe in God at all. At all. Now, there are two things. Atheism, someone who's an atheist and someone who's agnostic. So someone who is an atheist doesn't believe in a God or gods, like, at all. And someone who is agnostic is somebody who is uncertain. Somebody who's uncertain about the belief of God. And in conversations with him, you know, he has his thoughts and his opinions, and just like I've never had any experiences as to where I've seen like something that will make me feel like that there is a God. So I've been working on putting some things together, like for him specifically, but I figured I could draw from that bigger point for this Sunday school message. Some of our main texts this morning, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And then again back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, the objective of the message this morning is to show the existence of God is evident through nature, reason, and scripture. So we're going to show that that God exists, and that's evident through nature, through reason, and through scripture. To understand why recognizing God's existence is foundational to Christian faith, and also to explore how the Bible supports the idea of God's existence and character. So just an introduction. The need to ask, does God exist? And the key question is, have you ever wondered about the existence of God? Some people might ask, how can we be sure if God exists? This is a crucial question because of the foundation of our faith is built on the belief that God is real. Many people today are confused about whether God exists due to the prevalence of atheism or agnosticism. Those are two things that I just define. But as believers, we can be confident in the evidence of God's existence. And the goal for today, we're going to explore how we can know that God exists, of course, like again I said, through nature, through our reason, and through the revelation found in the Bible. So God's existence is revealed through creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse." The evidence in nature. Paul writes in Romans that God's existence is evident in creation. When we look at the world around us, the stars, the oceans, the mountains, the intricate design of life, we see God's fingerprints everywhere as a creator. Some examples of creation. The vastness and complexity of the universe point to something far greater than random chance. The fine-tuning of the universe and how everything is precisely set for life to exist shows its purpose. The design of life. The complexity of living organisms, from the human eye to the intricacies of a single cell, suggests the design. In the natural world, the beauty and order of nature point to a purposeful creator. Think about how ecosystems balance each other, and how seasons change, and how life renews itself. These things don't happen by accident. I want you to think of a painting. A painting. You all have seen artwork before, paintings? Even if it's your grandkids, you know, you've seen some type of artwork before. Now, if you see a painting, you immediately know that somebody designed it and painted it. You don't think that it's just something that just happened randomly, right? So similarly, we look at creation, but we know that it was designed by a creator. In Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and I'm sorry, all these verses are coming from the New International Version. Please.
I know you can't make anybody believe anything that they don't want to believe. Mm-hmm. But in the example that you said, your friend doesn't believe in God. Does he have any explanation as to how the world came about and all the things that he sees? Because I was thinking when you first gave us the title of this lesson, mm-hmm. that's the most evident thing that you can base God's existence on. The fact that the world that we're living in, you know, and the fact that even though it takes man and woman to make babies, but still God sustains everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so what does he base the existence of life on?
He points to science a lot. Okay. You know, the Big Bang Theory, and you know, we came from monkeys, and we started off as single cell organisms, and you know, amoebas. And my response to that has always been, well, who put the life in the amoeba?
Right.
You know, even if all that is true, who, like I said, you know, we see these things, this broad picture of things. And all of this beauty, you know, like you talk about the vastness of the universe, you know. Mm-hmm. I was 2 days ago, I was coming home, and I looked up, and living in Prince George too, you can definitely tell the difference between that and like city life. But the stars, mm-hmm. you know, a beautiful, big, huge, dark black canvas with all these beautiful little stars in it.
Yeah.
All of that's not just by chance. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he really points to science a lot. He points to science a lot. And actually, it's funny, another friend of mine and I were talking about him, not like behind his back, but having a conversation about him the other day. And, you know, it was kind of teared because, of course, I'm a Christian and, you know, someone who believes and someone who's faithful. And, you know, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm on the Zoom every Wednesday. And then he's somebody who believes in God, but he's like, right now he's in bed for sure. Like, I know that for a fact, that he's in bed. Or he'll like call me sometimes, especially during football season, like Sunday mornings, like, "Hey, you coming over for the game?" And I'm like, "I'm in church right now." And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm sorry." So it's the believer, no, I'm sorry, the active, faithful believer, then the believer, and then there's the other gentleman that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him laughing because I told him a story that I've heard before. It's a story about when the scientist met God. And so the scientist met God, and he's like, "You know what, God, I don't think we really need you anymore. You know, we're growing food, we making meat, we're cloning food, I think we're good. And so God said, okay, well, you think you're good. Let's do a little challenge here. You know, y'all got FaceTime and you got Skype and you got all these ways to talk to people who are not right in front of you. Like, you got it. Okay, so let's do this challenge. Let's make a man. And so the scientist, he sat back and he thought, he said, okay, let's make a man. Like, thinking of all the composition of what humans are made of. He said, it might take me a bit longer, but, you know, let's do it. And so God, he reached down and he picked up some dirt. And then the scientist reached down and he picked up some dirt. And then God said, hold on. You got to go make your own dirt. So when you think about the base of what life is, where does it come from? Mm-hmm. It's not something that just happened by chance.
Right.
He really points to science a lot to answer your question. Yeah.
Well, plus God is in a theory. Yeah. And evolution is a theory, and that's all it is. Nothing's been proven. If we came from monkeys, why aren't we still evolving?
And why are they? And why are there still monkeys?
You know, there's a lot of ways to shoot that down.
Right. And that's actually going to be one of the things we get into at the activity at the end. Just a quick 5 minutes or so to, you know, talk among yourselves about things that you encountered when speaking with people about God's existence. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that question.
Okay.
To piggyback a little bit on what I'm going to say, most of the people that I talk to that are atheists, they call themselves well educated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your education can get in the way of your sense.
Right. And then honestly, you even thinking back to the garden, I think that's something I think about all the time. That's kind of a form of like, I'm smarter than this. Or let me try to, it's like trying to gain too much information. And not to say that we as members of the church or as Christians should be I want to make sure I say this the right way, but it's not that we should not ask questions, or it's not that we should just blindly follow something. This isn't a cult, you know? Mm-hmm. But there are also things that we're not meant to understand,
right.
You know, things we're not meant to understand how they, you know, how they work. One of my favorite songs, Our God, He is Alive. It says, God holds a germ within his hand. Though men may seek, they cannot find. For only God can understand. So there's some things that we're not meant to, really understand. And I can see how the human side of a lot of people would not appreciate that, or, you know, find that as something that's hard to kind of get a grasp of, because, you know, that's what we want. Like, we want to be knowledgeable. We want to be the first ones to know about things. Like, I have notifications on my phone for the NBA app and for the NFL app, because when a trade happens, I want to be the first one to know. I want to be the first one to tell my friends, look what so-and-so did, or look what happened with this. You know, that's in our nature. Hold on 1 second. You're welcome. Just watch her struggle with the door. All right. So creation speaks to us.
Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us plainly that there are secret things that belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also followed up with those things that are revealed to us, and therefore our admonition to learn, which means that set us in our place. We don't fully have the intelligence to comprehend God's intelligence. So there are things that He
figures out and has planned for us, and we can't, it's just not within our reason.
Right.
But those things that he did reveal, then they are there for us to you know, pay attention to and deliver.
Right. And it's a word that I'm going to talk about later, something that's teleological, something that's teleological. That's when the end, well, really when the end justifies the means, or taking something and looking at the end of it and then backtracking to see how we got to that point. Thank you. So in Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and again, all these verses are coming from the New International Version. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So creation speaks to us. David, in Psalm chapter 19, describes how the heavens declare the glory of God. Every part of creation speaks God's majesty, even though it does not use words. The sunrise, the stars, the mountains, and the oceans all declare that there is a creator. Now take a moment to think of a time that you've been in awe of God's creation. Maybe it was standing on a mountaintop or watching the sunset or hearing the waves crash into the sand. This sense of awe is evidence that the world is not an accident, but a design that points us back to the Creator. God's existence is supported by logic and reason. And this is really the meat of that sandwich that I'm trying to offer him. Because, that's his thing. Like logically, God doesn't make sense to me. Like how all these things are happening doesn't make sense. So this is really the meat of the information that I'm trying to offer him. So in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. A logical argument for God's existence. Hebrews reminds us that everything with a design has a designer. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Everything with a design has a designer. Sister Lynette, I heard you speaking on Sister Hoosier's, her style and outfit. She didn't just wake up and the clothes flew out the closet onto her. She picked that out. She said, this hat is going to go with, so she designed that. Hebrews reminds us that everything with a design has a designer. If you walk into a house, you don't assume that it appeared out of nowhere. It was built by someone. That same logic applies to the universe. Its design points to a designer, which is God. The cosmological argument for God's existence is based on the idea that everything has a cause. The universe, as vast and complex as it is, must have a cause, and that cause is God. If something begins to exist, it must have a reason for existing. And that reason is traced back to the Creator. Another argument for God's existence is that we have an innate sense of the greatest being or ideal perfection. This concept could not come from our limited human minds, but must have been implanted there by a Creator, showing that a perfect God exists. When we look at the universe and the design of life, it's reasonable to conclude that an intelligent, powerful, and purposeful creator exists. God's invisible attributes are evident, and we can see it in the hand of creation. A moral argument for God's existence. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Can someone read that for me? Romans chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15.
guys. Okay. Romans 2:14. Mm-hmm. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So this is talking about Jewish law. Jewish law. So Paul indicates that even those who don't have the Jewish law have an internal sense of morality. A sense of right and wrong points to a moral lawgiver, which is God, who instills this law in all human beings.
Well, nowadays people think they're a law to themselves.
That's very true. That's very true. And yeah, I'll leave it. That's true. That's very true. If someone is wrong, such as a sense of such as in the case of theft or injustice, they feel a sense of violation. This universal reaction points to an inherent understanding of right and wrong, which transcends culture and personal opinion. Now, where does this sense of morality come from if it doesn't come from God? Any thoughts or questions there?
Comment about that is along with what you said about the law, the way people think today, they don't want to respect law until it applies to them. If you wrong me, then I want to call on the law. But I can do the same thing and get away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not law. That's not logic. That's not justice. It's not equality. It's not nothing. In layman's terms, that's nothing but the devil. You know, it's chaos. It's not fair. It's not right. You know, so that's wrong. But that's, as he said, is people's law today, or this people live by today, or what they think of today, and what people do. They only respect things when it applies to them. But when anything that's universal or anything that's for everybody, they don't respect that. Mm-hmm. But in God's law, it's good for everybody. That's my comment.
Right, yeah, right. Right, that makes sense. And it's something that I have to make sure that I watch within myself when it comes to work. So Brother Jerry asked earlier, you know, how's work? And I told him I'm a behavior therapist, so I work with children a lot. And then also I work part-time with the YMCA in youth development. And so I guess in the interest of developing the youth, there are things that sometimes, like, you tell them that you can't do this, or, you know, especially you can't do this here. And I guess a good example of that is, like, perfect example, your phone. So we're at school, or we're at the YMCA building, you know, say, no phones, you know, no phones. And, oh, well, Mr. So-and-so got his phone, how come he can have? And you try not to give the answer of, because I said so, or because he's an adult. And of course, there are certain things that don't give us, like, equality between the adults and the children. But if you want them to follow that example, then that's an example that you have to set. You know, you have to model that for them. So, right, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And it's something that we see day to day, whether it be with people that we encounter at work, or at school, or in the grocery store, even all the way up to, like, politicians and those people that that we, you know, entrust with, like, our safety.
Yeah, but even so, it applies to us too, because, say, like, on a lower level, if you speeding, we stop you for saying, "Your house, why you ain't stop him?" You know, or as you say, just like a child, if you did something wrong and you get caught, well, so and so did it, why you didn't do this, you know? But if this applies to me, it should apply to him too. Because we want a way out. We want to get off. You know, it only works when it applies to the individual. But as far as equality for everybody, we don't want to go with it.
Right, yeah. Right. And then that kind of brings in also the thought or the, the thought of us as Christians being held to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes that's something that, I guess I kind of, again, another example with the children, something that I run into, you know, if they're kids that I know better. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, I know that you know better than that. Well, if you didn't say anything to Johnny, so that's always the example, right? Johnny or Susie. How come you didn't say nothing to Johnny? Or how come you didn't say nothing to Susie? It's like, yeah, that's because I know that, don't worry about that. I'll handle that, but I know that you know better. And I know that if I look at you as a leader amongst your peers, that they're looking to you, you know, as an example of how you should act, and, you know, an example of things that you should do. So that's really, I feel like that's how God looks at us as well. Like, you all are my children,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I expect more of you. I expect more of you.
Yeah.
All right. The teleological argument. Teleological. Now, teleological, the root word in that is the Greek word telos. Telos, meaning end or purpose. So teleological means starting from the end and reasoning back. So starting from the end and reasoning back. Explaining things based on their end purpose. A teleological statement that we've all heard before is everything happens for a reason. So that's taking what happened and then thinking back, oh, well, I was late for work this morning, or, you know, I got out of bed where I overslept my alarm and I'm 5 minutes late and now I'm riding past the accident on the road, or, you know, so thinking back to why certain things happen. So a teleological argument. This is coming from Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So design in nature and in the human body. The Bible speaks to the wonderful design of human life and the natural world. David acknowledges how God designed his very being with purpose. The incredible complexity of the human body, DNA, and the way of life and the way life functions cannot be explained solely by chance. It all points to a creator who intricately designed everything. The universe is finely tuned for life to exist. Consider the gravitational constant that keeps us from floating away right now, the distance of Earth from the sun, and the composition of the atmosphere where we're able to walk outside and just breathe. You can't do that on Mars. You can't do that on Saturn. You can't do that on Pluto. Well, Pluto, that's not a planet anymore. Right. These factors all must be perfectly balanced for life as we know it. This precision strongly suggests a purposeful creator. God's existence revealed through his word. Can someone get John chapter 1? the first three verses. So John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God's word reveals his existence. Now, in this passage, When it's saying the word, who or what is that referring to?
Jesus.
Bingo, Jesus. So the Bible claims that Jesus was with God from the beginning and that everything in creation was made through him. This connects directly to God's revelation of himself through Scripture. Can someone read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Thank you. So faith in God's existence. The Bible teaches that faith is essential in knowing God. To believe in God, we must first accept his existence. God's revelation in Scripture calls us to a personal relationship with him, which is rooted in belief and trust in his being. Yeah, I'm sorry, any thoughts there? I don't remember that. Yeah, this is really my opportunity to sort of back and forth, because when I get up there, it's just me. Yeah, any thoughts, please, don't hesitate. Practical implications of recognizing God's existence. Our purpose is rooted in God's existence. If we know that God exists, then we understand that we are not here by chance. Our lives have purpose because we are part of God's creation and plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, for whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Everything we do must honor God, knowing that he is the source of all life and meaning. So our response, what should our response to this be? Worship in obedience. Worship in obedience. Recognizing God's existence leads us to worship him and obey his commands. Can someone read Romans chapter 12, just the first verse? Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Beseeching therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Thank you. So our belief in God compels us to live for him, following his ways and living according to his word. Overcoming doubts about God's existence. So in dealing with doubts, sometimes people may still struggle with doubts about God's existence. It is important to remember that faith is not the absence of doubt, but rather the choice to trust God despite those doubts. So faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the choice to trust in God despite those doubts. God provides evidence through creation, scripture, and reason, but ultimately, belief is a personal decision. Of course, God created us all, and he placed us all here, but we still have free will. We still have free will, so... And that's what I tell my friend who, and for those who may have just gotten in or gotten in the grease after I said it, I'm going to try to single y'all out because my mama got here after I said it too. But there's I have a friend of mine since high school, and he doesn't believe in God at all, or any God, not just like God, capital G God. He doesn't believe in any gods. And so what's one thing that I tell him, like, you know, all of the information is there. It's just a matter of you hearing it, of course, and then believing it, of course, but then also making the decision to have faith in that, you know. Excuse me. In Matthew chapter 7, the seventh verse, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So encouragement to seek God. If we have doubts or questions, we are encouraged to seek God through prayer, study, and reflection. God promises to reveal himself to those who earnestly seek him. The journey of faith is one where God meets us in our searching. Are there any thoughts there? All right, so the conclusion. God's existence is central to faith. God's existence is evident in creation, reason, and scripture, and ultimately revealed in the person, the human form, of Jesus Christ. Recognizing God's existence is foundational to our understanding of the world, our purpose in it, and our relationship with him. Our response to God's existence is to trust him, seek him, and live according to his will as we grow in faith and we continue to explore and deepen our understanding of who God is and what he wants for our lives. Understanding that God exists is not just an intellectual exercise, it's a transformative truth that shapes our worship, our relationships, and our mission in this world. As we grow in faith, we can confidently say that the heavens declare the glory of God and earth shows his handiwork. And that's found in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. Now, a quick activity. This is to help us reflect and discuss on our personal experiences where we've each seen God's evidence of God's existence in our lives. And this may be harder for some people because when I was, curating this, I thought that I had, and this is something I had to call him and kind of like in the moment to say. I've been in the church since I was forever, So as far as like things that are like transform, that's a big word, something that's transformative, but it's hard for me, just like it's hard for him to understand that there is a God and he is alive. It's hard for me to see the opposite because I've just been entrenched in this for so long that it's hard for me to see how somebody could not see, that there's a God. So we've discussed various ways of God's existence that's evident in creation through scripture and logic. So now I want to hear some personal experiences, if possible, where you felt God's presence or seen evidence of God in your own life. You said break into small groups, but you don't got to break into. You can just talk to the people beside you if you like, or in front of you, behind you. But some questions. So what are some specific instances where you've seen God's work in the world around you? So, for example, like in nature or in relationships or personal healing. Has there ever been a time where you doubted God's existence? And how did you overcome that doubt? You don't have to answer all of these. You can just pick one or two if you like, whatever you want to. How does the order and beauty of the creation influence your understanding of God's existence? And what role has faith played in helping you experience God's reality, especially when you couldn't see him directly? So, what are some specific instances where you have seen God in the work, in the world around you? Has there ever been a time where you doubted God's existence, and how did you overcome that doubt? How does the order and beauty of creation influence your understanding of God's existence? Or what role has faith played in helping you experience God's reality, especially when you couldn't see him directly? Just think about that, those things, for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask. You can either
answer to your question maybe for that one.
Okay.
Because as that involvement in the church, mm-hmm. but as a new Christian, I can remember working an 11-to-7 shift. And I know my route home. But then I can remember there were several occasions where I didn't really realize how I got home. So maybe your friend, I'm gonna ask maybe for your answer. Have you ever remember traveling and being really tired and not realizing? Because I've even traveled home and I've done long journeys, like to visit family out of the state, and like I don't know what happened in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like that wasn't me. I don't remember driving this car. I don't remember passing certain landmarks, but like, how did I get home? Because there was a whole 10-20 minute period I can't account for.
Right.
So those, and that was in my early Christian life. I mean, and those were small moments, and I'm like, that was a lot of shifts. I got home, and I can't tell you how I got home. And I got home with 2 kids because I had to pick them up. That would have been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if those little things, like, that's not science. Science didn't keep me up. I didn't know enough, maybe, I mean, he could maybe, because he's a little younger than I am, he could probably talk about Red Bull and all that stuff, but that's not science.
Right. Right. And that's a real-life application.
Yeah.
That's a real-life application, and it's something that isn't, for lack of a better word, like churchy. You know, like for somebody to say, I guess something like, oh, I was driving down the road and then the heavens opened. You know, that's something that happens to everybody. That's a real life example. Thank you. That's good. That's good. Okay.
Biggest one is 11:04 a.m. in the morning. WWDC crossing the bridge, and remember the sun was just coming, the sunlight hit in the face. Next thing I remember, I was heading towards Baltimore, and I went in there. And I went in there during rush hour. Bragging about it, and just praying that the Jesus Lord, not that I was behind the seat.
Mm-hmm. A real, what do you say, Jesus take the wheel. The real Jesus take the wheel moment. That's good.
Last week I had an accident.
You said you had an accident last week? Okay.
Long story short, both of us trying to be over life, and I was making a left turn, so I'm their fault. But, as you know, like you said a while back, sometimes you say, why this happened to me? At the time, it was the guy, his son, the guy has S&S tires, and it's his son that right there. So, his son, his father was telling him, see, that's why he was God. And so I just happened to walk over. And I said, I can't do nothing about it. You know? And he said, yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. And so I never got a chance to go back and talk to him. I was thinking I was going to go back later this week and just ask how his son doing, you know, and try to get that conversation back going again.
That's good. That's good. And you know, you run into situations like that. And it's good that you took the opportunity, because there have been times where stuff like that's happened, and I should say something, and then don't, and then think about it for the rest of the week. Like, I should have said something, because that situation, whether you do end up going up there or not, that could be something that changes the whole trajectory of his life,
right.
You know, 10, 15 years from now, you know, he could be Deacon S&S Tire. You know, he could be Mr. Deacon Tire Man, and he's going to think back, man, I got an accident 10 years ago, and I remember that name, you know. So that's good. That is good that you ended up, reaching out. Anyone else?
Well, I remember it was last year, I was caught in a really terrible rainstorm coming up to work at, in the morning, I was almost four. And there were vehicles pulled over on the right shoulder. So I was in the right lane, I decided to move over to the center lane, and I hit something. And I didn't know what I hit because I couldn't see. So I kept going, thinking I was okay. And then my tire pressure came up. And I'm like, okay. So, thinking, I don't really want to stop here, you know, it's not safe. So I just kept going, hoping my tire would stay inflated. And I limped all the way to work, you know, I'm like praying, thank God. And I got to work. My tire was flat, pretty much. But all through the day, I mean, I had to call to see if I could get tire replacement. The tow truck driver trying to get home, trying to get Tom up here to Richmond to give me a ride home. For them to have the tires when I got to the place I bought them from. All that just like fell into place. I mean, who could do that? You know, how could that all happen just for me? You know, I mean, it was God. You know, come to find out there's a bunch of rebar in the road from a previous accident on the highway, and all those vehicles that had stopped along the road, they had the same experience, although they were smart enough to stop. So, that's God working in your life, you know. I mean, He answers prayers, and He does things for you, you know. Knock, seek, find, get answers. I mean, it's all there. It's all real.
All right. Thank y'all. Anyone else? All right. Well, that's all I got for this morning. Thank you all for listening and engaging with me.
Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you for blessing us all with the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord, and the opportunity to arise and to make it out of bed to be here. Father, we're thankful for this morning, this period of Bible study, Father, and I just pray that something that I said here, Lord, will have an effect on someone, and something they can use in their day-to-day lives. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us as we head off into our worship period, Father, and pray that you guide me as a speaker, Father, and ask that you be with the song leader this morning, Lord, and be with all the brothers who are part of the service, Father, and just continue to guide us all, keep us all, and be with us all, always. These and all things we ask and pray in the Son of Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.